It's been 50 years since Gene Kelly first danced and sang in the rain. In honor of the anniversary, there's a new DVD edition of Singing in the Rain. Stanley Donen was the co-director and choreographer of the film. In a moment, Donen will tell us about filming this scene.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Gene Kelly gave Stanley Donen his big break. Kelly chose Donen to be his assistant in a Broadway production of Best Foot Forward. Soon after, when they were both in Hollywood, Kelly brought the 19-year-old Donen to Columbia Pictures to work on Cover Girl, the movie that made Kelly a star. Kelly and Donen went on to co-direct On the Town, It's Always Fair Weather, and Singing in the Rain. Donen directed Fred Astaire in Royal Wedding and Funny Face. Donen's other films include Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, The Pajama Game, Damn Yankees, Charade, Two for the Road, and Bedazzled. When Terry spoke with Stanley Donen in 1996, she asked him how he figured the rain and the puddles into the choreography of his most famous production number.
People believe these things happen spontaneously. Certainly dance numbers are anything but spontaneous. They're worked out in great detail over quite a long period of time. And so we decided where, how, what he would dance, how he would dance, how quickly he would dance, what the steps were, where he would be. We rehearsed on the street and so on, and we said, he'll splash in a puddle here. Well, there had to be a puddle there, so we had to chop out the cement and make a little hole, and then it would fill up with water, and he would splash in that puddle there. And since dance is very specific, and when you do it the same way every time, you end up in the same spot, we placed the puddles where they were necessary.
Now, where did the rain come from?
Pipes. It came from the Culver City water supply. Pipes overhead feeding the rain.
Did you make the temperature of the water warm so that Gene Kelly's muscles wouldn't be a problem?
No, yeah. On the contrary. It was so hot in there. It would have been nice if the water had been cool. We were in midsummer, and we were under black canvas, so in the bright daylight. We didn't shoot it at night in real night. And the sun beating down on a black canvas overhead with the water pouring down on it was like a sauna in there.
Hmm.
Would have been better to have refrigerated water in that case.
Now, you work with Gene Kelly. You also work with Fred Astaire on the films Royal Wedding and Funny Face. Now, did you have a different approach to shooting each of them since their approach to dance was different?
Yes.
Could you describe the difference in shooting them?
Well, because Gene's movements are basically athletic, and the force of the movement is important to get the thrill of watching him dance, it's harder to produce that on film because film is not able to get forceful movement because it's only a two-dimensional medium. And you need two eyes to see sharp, hard, forward and back or sideways movement. You need three dimensions. And therefore, I tried to make up for that lack in the way I photographed him, which meant trying to make it a more dynamic move by the placement or movement of the camera or lack of movement of the camera. With Fred, you want to get the delicacy of the movement. So it's another way of focusing the eye in this two-dimensional medium on his physical, subtle movements.
There's a dancing I want you to talk about that's very mysterious when you see it. It's the dancing on the ceiling sequence, the sequence that your biography is named after. This is a Fred Astaire dance number from Royal Wedding. Yeah, from Royal Wedding. So, he dances on the floor and the walls and the ceiling on this. What did you do to create that illusion?
We had to build a room inside a wheel or a barrel, if you like, which turned slowly, and in which the camera turned with the room, as well as the lights and everything in the room, and its turning had to be so controlled and gentle, both in timing and in movement, that the things didn't shake or didn't throw Fred Astaire around, and the camera had to be fixed to its position so it turned exactly as the room did, and so did the lights. Otherwise, you would see the room turning as the lights stayed still. You'd see shadows moving and so on. And then the wall, if we were now going to Fred dancing from the floor to the side wall, slowly the side wall becomes the floor, and he's actually dancing on that floor, which is now the wall of the room. But since the camera turns with it, the camera doesn't know that the set has moved in that sense. It doesn't see outside the room. So to the camera, it's still the side wall, and it looks like Fred has actually gone to the side wall. And that's repeated on the ceiling, the other side, and so on.
So did the choreography have to be done in such a way as to coincide with the turning of the room?
Yes, and the turning of the room had to coincide with the choreography and so on. They had to marry each other. And that only could happen with trial and error.
You say in your biography that the most difficult part in a film musical is making that transition from talking into dancing or talking into singing. And I could see how that would be the most difficult the most difficult part. What are some of the ways you've gotten around that in production numbers to try to make a smooth transition?
Well, we try any number of ways. In the number we were just talking about, in All the World to Me is the name of the song where he dances around the room. You hear him singing, but actually his lips aren't moving in the beginning. So it's almost as though his singing is an underscoring of the scene. And then after the verse of the song, he starts theoretically singing it with his mouth. So that's one technique. There are numbers of ways I've tried to do it. I've tried it sometimes with the characters back to the camera. You hear him singing, but you don't see him singing. Sometimes in Singing in the Rain, we had a little vamp which was written, which sort of eased him from dialogue into song. The vamp ahead of the song was written by Roger Edens. Most people are familiar with it. It goes do 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 do. That little vamp. He sings that, and that seems to bridge the moment.
Yeah, and in Moses Supposes, they start.
In Moses Supposes, they're
that
talking
before, yeah.
the lyric. That's right, and then the music joins the talk. So there are, I hope, endless ways of avoiding a catastrophe at that moment.
Yeah, well, what goes wrong if that transition isn't done just right? Do you think the audience thinks it looks
people
foolish?
People laugh mm-hmm. is what goes wrong. They think this is highly unlikely. People don't sing in this situation, they think. Why are they doing that? It seems not real, not acceptable, and it makes the audience uncomfortable, and they laugh.
Now, when you worked at MGM, or at least I think most of the time you were at MGM, Louis B. Mayer was the head of the studio.
Not really.
Just part of the time?
Well, by the time we did Singing in the Rain, Dori Sherry was there running the studio. Mayer was still there, but the decisions were made by Dori Sherry.
Wow. What was Mayer like to work with?
I knew him very slightly. He was clearly, he had a large input into what kind of films were made. He was someone who, I think if he were alive today, he couldn't bear it. He would have lost his mind because he wanted films to only be sweet and gentle and talk about mothers loving sons and daughters and family things. He loved, for example, the Andy Hardy series, which showed the kind of family life, the only kind of family life he really liked to see. He didn't like to see, for example, women in slacks. It drove him mad. He thought it's not feminine for a woman to wear pants. I remember there was a great problem, as I was told, about Katharine Hepburn, who wore pants in some MGM movies. He didn't like that. He had a lot of things which found their way into the whole studio output. He didn't like shiny surfaces for some reason.
Shiny surfaces?
Yes, he didn't like things reflecting.
Uh-huh.
So MGM films, unless you fought very hard, had a very soft look to them. He didn't like dark shadows, so MGM black and white films had filled in light in the shadow areas. There were all kinds of odd things.
Did you ever want to do something that was either bleaker or where the lighting was darker or the mood sexier than Louis B. Mayer wanted?
Well, I think I can't think of a specific instance, but we always tried to make the lighting look... L.B. Mayer's idea of lighting was not, from my point of view, didn't have any dynamic quality to it. It was too bland. So we fought to do that. But I can't give you an example of off the top of my head.
Now, what was the process of fighting like? Would you go into his office and, make your case?
No. It was all done through... He was way above all that. It was... These things had become law at the studio in a funny way, unwritten, albeit. But, there are all kinds of departments. The wardrobe department said, Mr. Mayer won't like this. Or the camera department said, Mr. Mayer won't like this. Or the set... The art department, Mr. Mayer won't like it like that. And you have to find a way to get around that, whatever that might be. Using the star power or your producer or being adamant yourself and saying, well, we're going to do it like this and I don't care what he likes. However you got around it. But his presence physically was not, he never confronted these issues with the people involved.
Stanley Donen co-directed and co-choreographed Singing in the Rain. A new 50th anniversary DVD edition of the film has just been released.